Carlisle, Strong Story.
Yeah.
0.5.
Yeah. Y'all right. Want to see me do good, huh?
Y'all want to see me do good.
Man, just want me to be with the low life for the rest of my life, man. I done did enough time, man. Y'all done have it.
Hey, now.
I'm trying to get out the game. They want me back in the streets. They want me back on the block. They want me back with the heat. They want me running the bag, high speed with a gun in my lap. Extended the clip, keep drums in the whip. You know how I move when I know how I'm back. I'm trying to get out the game. They want me back on the streets. They want me back on the block. They want me back with the heat. They want me running the bag, high speed with a gun in my lap. Extended the clip, keep drums in the whip. You know how I move when I know how I'm back. If you know me for real, I'm plugged with the plugs, I done did it for real. You pick the drugs, I can cut you a deal, and I'm pulling up on you wherever you with. Ask about me, they gon' tell you the truth. Did it outside, brought it into the booth. Fronted the news, that is sell it to you. I go and get it, you know what I do. I get it cheaper, so I sell it cheaper. I take your customers, turn them to geekers. I had the bag that was loud as a speaker. I had the dope that was fire as leader. I had the pills that was bopping them out. Stop at your crib and I'm popping your house. I really do what they talking about. I have a problem, they talking it out. I've been to prison a couple of times. They left me there. Dead, ain't no sense of me lying. They let me out, I got back on my grind. We ain't talking money, you wasting my time. Family, your friend, they all did me the same. I can't be mad cause it come with the game. I hit the bricks and got back to the change. I don't see nothing, I stay in my lane. I don't be paying attention, they calling me arrogant. I call it independent. They only call when it benefits. Stay out the street, so it been a minute. Don't wanna talk, I ain't in it with them. I love my mama, I'm sentimental. Don't even wanna get in the middle. So no sir, I don't wanna kick it with them. I'm trying to get out the game. They want me back in the streets. They want me back on the block. They want me back with the heat. They want me running the bag, high speed with a gun in my lap. Extended the clip, keep drums in the whip. You know how I move when I roll high back. I'm trying to get out the game. They want me back in the streets. They want me back on the block. They want me back with the heat. They want me running the bag, high speed with a gun in my lap. Extended the clip, keep drums in the whip. You know how I move when I roll high back. I'm trying to get out the game.
Know how
they want me back in the streets.
Know how
I'm trying to get out the game.
Know how
they want me back in the streets.
Know how
I'm trying to get out the game.
Know how
they want me back in the streets.
Know how
I'm trying to get out the game.
Know how
hey now.
Know how.
Let me start my blog talk show. Good morning, everybody. This is the 1111 Wish. I am Mr. Hey Now. But today, my name Damon Smith, like author. Like this is my author credit. I wear a lot of hats in the world, but one of them is I write, and I got a couple books out. But today we just gonna discuss the first book I put out. I put it out on 420, like you know, for the significance. It's called Loud. Anybody in the city know what that is. Anybody that smoke know what that is. It's called Loud. A strong story. It should make sense to you. I'm not doing the 1111 Wish because, man, I just wish my mama get better. Like, I don't really have another wish at this present point in my life. But it is what it is. November 18th will be her party. She'll be making the Bacon MSP donation. What's the word? Good morning, Brody. Where she get his pig, he got all this money away in it to Brandy Spray, which is the winner of the contest that I held for who was deserving enough to receive this donation, because it's just a donation, man. Ain't nothing else with it. The Multiple Sclerosis Society gonna be in the building too, because, man, I'm really for that movement. Like, I gotta do something, man, to bring some type of awareness to my mama. But quick recap and shout out, man. Shout out to Lisa Fragrances and such for the opportunity to have this blog show. And shout out to everybody that supported my team. Whether I mention your name or I don't, I appreciate you. Like, you will never know how much I appreciate you, especially at this point in my life when I ain't hustling. Like, I genuinely appreciate the motivation that you give me to keep me from calling the plug, because that's what I really want to do. Like, straight up. But let's just jump right into this. Couple chapters, man. Loud, a strong story. 0.5. Book cover green. It say, when being quiet gets you nowhere. Loud, a strong story by Damon Smith. Opening the book, it got the cover, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Opening the cover, it say, Loud, a strong story by Damon Smith at Fresh INT, which is my company. Like, second page, dedicated. Like, dedicated to you with three kisses. If you ever seen me with my shirt off, I got a tattoo across my chest. It means life, love, and loyalty. But let's just jump right into this. Chapter one. It seems like yesterday that my Uncle Percy told me that the definition of love is that which you go through with somebody. But that was before he died, before I got shot, before I went to prison for 14 years, and before the series of very unfortunate events that led me to where I was in life. What's wrong, Dave? Latoya questioned as she laid across the bed naked as the day she came in this world. Shit, I answered over my shoulder as I continued to look out my bedroom window at nothing in particular. Do I look like something wrong with me? You look like a 6'1" tall, dark, and handsome Roman statue with the prettiest smile I never see. She paused to look me over. But it's not what you look like. It's the way you acting. Latoya had been blessed and cursed with the pleasure and displeasure of being a part of my life for the last couple of months. The fact that she was almost my height, thick in all the right places with a beautiful caramel complexion to match her hazel eyes didn't really impress me. But when I found out that she liked women just as much, if not more, than I did, I gave her just enough of myself for her to become addicted to me. And she has been a part of my relationship rotation ever since. How am I acting, babe? I asked as I retreated from the window and lay across the bed next to her. You act like you ain't happy, Day. She responded while at the same time moving closer to me. It's your birthday and you acting like you did when Ace died. So tell me what's wrong, Bae, and I promise I'll do whatever you want me to do to make it better. She finished as her lips met mine. I doubt that very seriously, I thought. But I kept my comment to myself as I enjoyed her kisses. The thought even crossed my mind to explain to her that almost 20 years ago to the day, my favorite Uncle Percy Pimpin' Stokes was laid in his final resting place. I also wanted to tell her that all of my happiness and birthday joy went in the ground with him. But I couldn't bring myself to do it. There were only a few skeletons in my closet that she knew about, and I was truly in no rush to make her fully aware of the cemetery that came along with dealing with me. Pulling her closer to me until our skin was touching in more places than not, I decided to leave words alone and focus on actions instead. Letting my hands explore the softness of her body, I returned her kisses, one after another, after another, after another, until her mouth opened to invite my tongue to enter. Accepting her invitation without the slightest hesitation, our tongues danced with each other while our hands touched, rubbed, and grabbed at any part of her that could be reached. She was extremely responsive to my touch and moaned with every movement as my hands toured every spot of her body that stimulated her in some type of way. Some responses more pleasure than others, but each caress brought her closer to her breaking point. In no rush to satisfy the need that my lips and hands had caused her, I continued to tease her with kisses and touches while I slowly repositioned myself into one of complete control and dominance. "Don't move," I whispered in her ear as I pinned her to the mattress. When her breathing had returned to almost normal, I released my grip on her waist and began to place sweet kisses from one side of her neck to the other. This caused her to start moving all over again, so I pinned her back to the bed and began to let my kisses work their way down her body. By the time I made it to her breast, she was panting and trying very unsuccessfully to maintain her composure. Each kiss seemed to send an electrical shock through her body, causing her to jump and shake as I made my way towards her center. Unable to hold her down and continue with the mission that my mouth had started, when I made it to the top of her landing strip, I changed my gentle approach to a more aggressive maneuver, and in one fluid motion went from holding her arms against the bed to holding her thick thighs open. This put me face to face with her lower mouth, and before her body had the chance to respond to my first movement, we were engaged in a one-sided tongue kiss of sorts. Aroused in a way that words could not explain, as my tongue danced across between and inside her lower lips, she spoke to me in a form of broken English that was barely understandable. I wondered to myself what exactly it was that she was trying to say to me, but I was more focused on what I was doing, along with keeping her from shaking free from my grasp to truly be concerned. This seemed to happen every time I put my mouth on her in the right way, so I used it as motivation as I dove all the way in search of a climax. Knowing exactly what would push her over the edge and give her the release that was building up inside of her with each kiss, suck, and flick of my tongue, I gave her lips one last peck before moving on to her love button. After taking it into my mouth, I slowly sucked and sucked. After taking it into my mouth, I sucked it slow and soft at first. That lasted for a few moments. But as it got better and better for both of us, I sped up my rhythm and added more pressure. I went faster and faster, harder and harder, until she couldn't hold back or control herself any longer. Twisting, turning, pulling, shaking, rolling, screaming, and hollering. She went through all of her usual responses before a climax caused her orgasmic fluids to leak from her body uncontrollably. Each drop tasted better than the last one before it, and I held her in position until I completely devoured all of her climactic nectar. And try as she might to break from my clutches, she made no progress in getting away from my oral lip lock until I was certain that she had nothing else to offer me in that department. My cell phone must have sensed that she really needed a break from what was happening, because as soon as I released her from the position she was in, it began to sing to me. Hey, now, I got 50 for you, Data, caller informed me. Where you at? I questioned. I'm on the highway coming through downtown, the caller responded. Taking a second to look at the phone to ensure that I was talking to exactly who I thought I was talking to, I instructed the caller to get off on Goodfella, buckle right, then call me, before ending the call and sitting my phone back on the nightstand. I hadn't planned on going anywhere once I got started on LaToya, but money always moved me. It made my life work right, and that was a priority that I held in high regard, regardless of who I was with or what I was doing. Who was that day, LaToya questioned with a hint of hostility in her voice. You already know who it was when the phone rang. I paused just long enough to get out of the bed with her. So please don't act like you don't know what I do for a living. Are you serious, nigga? She screamed. I can't believe you would leave me like this all over a few punk-ass dollars. It's not the first time, baby, and I'm certain that it won't be the last, I explained as I walked out of the bedroom into the bathroom. I can't stand your black ass, she yelled. She yelled at me along with several other things as I closed the bathroom door, and so did the sound of her voice. After adjusting the water to just the right temperature and shower head to just the right function, my thoughts drifted to other things as I bathed myself. I had only been out of prison almost a year before I fell right back into my routine like I never left, because hustling was all that I knew. It was all I ever knew. I accepted that fact without even giving it a second thought after I couldn't get a job worth having my first month back into society. The state provided 3 meals and a place to sleep while I was their ward, but when they finally decided to release me, it was all on me. Nobody cared if I starved other than me, and I refused to miss even one meal regardless of the situation. Because unlike most people, I spent the time stuck in the cell in some part of the state of Missouri, pronounced misery. Wasn't wasted doing nothing or anything close to it. I actually learned a new way to learn. And when I did, I read any and everything I could get my hands on, because I figured out a way to get something meaningful out of it that I could use to my advantage later in life. Those lessons helped me to clearly understand several things about people and places that every hustler should know and use to his advantage on a daily basis. Life from that point on was just one simple experiment after another on predictability of people. But with each new endeavor that I found myself trying to pull off or perfect, I also figured out that my basic formula for each cause only needed to be tweaked just a little bit in one way or another, depending on which group of people my endeavor actually catered to. It took me years to admit to anyone other than myself that I was a drug dealer with no personal preference for the poisonous product that I pushed to the people in pursuit of paper. And a decade and a half in the Department of Corrections hadn't changed a thing. By your other phone ringing, LaToya called into the bathroom, breaking me from my train of thought. Who is it? I responded a little louder than I think I needed to, but as I turned the water off and exited the shower. By the time I made it to the phone, I had missed the call, so I took a few minutes to dry off. When I finished with that, I picked my phone up and scrolled through my call log and found out that I had a plethora of missed calls, notifications, and text messages. Every text had something to do with the fact that it was my birthday in one way or another. Some wished me happy B-Day, others questioned my plans for the day. The rest were multimedia messages filled with pictures of birthday cards, people singing happy birthday wishes, and a host of other birthday material. Strangely, none of them moved me in any type of way, so I made a mental note to respond to them at a later time, then tossed the phone back on the nightstand next to the other one. Day, can you explain to me again why you have more than one cell phone? LaToya questioned as I was getting dressed. This is a hell of a piece of game I'm finna give y'all, and ain't nobody gonna catch. I had told her on more than one occasion that I never mixed business with pleasure and that I kept a separate phone for each product I sold. It made hustling a little bit easier for me because I basically knew about what the caller on the other end wanted when the phone rang. I couldn't claim the idea as my own because I actually borrowed it from my cousin-in-law, Cuzzo, who taught me the rules of the heroin game. He kept one phone for hustling purposes and one for personal use, and he never gave his customers his personal number or vice versa. It made complete sense to me at the time, so when I decided to give up the job hunt and get back to the street work, I adapted his practices to my hustle. My only problem was I peddled a variety of products, so instead of putting them all together to keep it simple for me, I just bought a new phone every time I added another product to my repertoire. Because I can, babe. I stated to her sarcastically as I put my shoes on and my phone began to sing again. Hey, now, I'm getting off on Goodfella right now. Which way again? Call a question. Buck a right, two lights, first right, I'll be waiting on you. I instruct. What? The caller responded, clearly confused. I said, make a right, pass two stoplights, make a right, and I'll be waiting on you. I explained before ending the call. I need to stop selling this shit, I thought to myself, as I filled my pockets with everything that I might need while I was out and about, money, phone, cigarette, lighter, keys, and ID. I always left my goodie bag and pistol that accompanied it by the front door to ensure that I would never leave home without them. The bag promised that I would fulfill any order that got called in, and the gun promised protection for my proceeds. It was an unwritten rule that every hustler that I knew followed to a T. I actually seen what happened when someone had broke it too many times, and I had no intentions of suffering his fate. I'd rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it, I thought to myself as I ran out of the house and jumped in my car. I could feel my personal phone vibrating in my pocket as I pulled off, but I paid it no mind. There was a couple dollars waiting on me just a few blocks away, and that was the only thing other than my surroundings that had my attention. Safety and security first, getting money second. By the time I made it to the place that I instructed my customer to go, I had circled the area twice to make sure that the police were not hanging around in the neighborhood. I had neglected this practice, one time being lazy and ended up in a high-speed chase that could have been avoided. $50 richer and at least 10 blocks away from my illicit transaction, I took the time to fish my personal phone out of my pocket to check it. It showed that I had one unread text message, but before I could see who it was from, my other phone happened to be sitting on my lap began to sing to me again. The thought crossed my mind to respond to the message before I answered the money call, but that followed the next thought and said, hey now, where you at? For the next few hours, my business phone wouldn't stop singing to me, and I didn't have a problem with it because all money moved me. Each call kept me in motion, and I made sure that I stayed out of my own neighborhood while I worked. My uncle used to tell me never shit in your own backyard when I was younger, but it took for me to start selling drugs to understand exactly what he was talking about. He told me all sorts of things that I would never forget, and it never ceased to amaze me how each one of them related to hustling in one way or another. When my phone stopped singing to me, I finally took a few moments to deal with my personal phone. It seemed like everybody that I knew was trying to get in contact with me in one way or another, and I had missed them all. Honestly, I had ignored my personal line for my business line because on my long list of priorities, the one that pays comes first. Plus, I had no real intentions or interest in celebrating my birthday anyway. The death of my uncle had truly ruined the day that I was born for me, and there was nothing that could be done to change it. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow will never come, I thought to myself as I weed in and out of traffic, making my way back towards my house. When I walked out of the front door, the sun was out. The sun was out, but in full force, but now it was setting. The last customer that I bumped into was only $10 short of purchasing the last of what my goodie bag had to offer. So I gave her a couple extras and wished her a happy birthday before taking her money and speeding off. Always aware of my surroundings and the things that were going on around me at all times, I took note of every vehicle that I thought could be an undercover cop because the jump out boys, dicks, and the fed boys had gotten smarter by switching from driving marked vehicles to unmarked cars. They had almost caught me slipping on more than one occasion, but I almost didn't count. A few blocks from my house, something out the corner of my eye caught my attention. Turning my head in that direction, I noticed the car that I had seen a few times while I was out and about. I paid it no mind the first couple of times I seen it, but there was something about it this time that was different. Something deep inside me made me focus on it, even though I couldn't see who was actually in it because of the tint. The thought crossed my mind to continue going where I was headed, but I went with my gut. Passing up the street that led to my house, I switched to the inside, to the turning lane, made the first right that I came to while keeping the coin question in my rearview mirror. After I turned the corner, I noticed the car followed suit. That really got my attention and made me just a tad bit nervous, but not wanting to jump to conclusions, even though my occupation encouraged paranoia. I still put a little distance between me and that car. I wonder who the fuck that is, I asked myself as I quickly made the next left. But before I could begin to come up with an answer to my question, all was explained to me with a simple gesture as the red, white, and blue lights partially illuminated the inside of my car through the tint on my back windows. Chapter 1, right? Just the opening. It's how my book starts, right? For anybody that, you know what I'm saying, want to go purchase it, it's on Amazon. You can actually hit my line and get one from me. Like, I have them. I be in traffic all the time. Just let me know. Moving on to chapter 2. Got a couple things to do today, so we just going to breeze through this. Forgive me, but I'm going to give you a couple chapters, and then I got to get where I'm going. Man, I got to go see my mama. We need to talk. What a charge every day. Chris questions as he walked into the waiting room of his tent / car wash / detail shop. Yes, Chris. Yeah, Chris. Like, if anybody know the tent shop, then you know Chris. Like, I don't know, I asked. What do you mean you don't know? He laughed. What happened to it? Like I said, bro, I don't know, bro. I don't know where that damn car at. The last time I seen that motherfucker, them people was trying to stop it while I caught my cut, I explained. That's bullshit, he commented as he looked at the floor and shook his head. It's easier to get a car out of the impound than it is to get a nigga out of jail, my uncle used to say every time the police got behind him while he was driving. And even though he was too old to practice what he preached, I did every time the status quo fit my situation. So what can I do for you today, he questioned. I need 5% all the way around, I explained as I handed him the keys to the up-to-date Impala I was now driving. Windshield 2, he paused to take the keys. Where you keep getting these cars from anyway? Rental cometh, rental goeth. And I already said all the way around, I answered. Since I started back hustling, I had been in more high-speed car chases than I could think about because they came along with the lifestyle. It was there to go to jail, and after my extended stay the first time around, I made up my mind that I would not go back without at least a chase. It took Chris less than an hour to handle any car that I brought to him, but I never stuck around to watch the process. His shop sat right on the corner of Natural Bridge and Fur, and in my honest opinion, it was a death trap. There were too many things that needed to be watched out for or guarded against to sit there and wait. If it wasn't whatever district police, the jump out boys, and any other the numerous law enforcement agencies that patrolled the area, it was the Jack Boys of one of the numerous Blood and Crip gangs that lurked in that part of St. Louis. I had a run-in with all of them at one point in time in my life of running these streets, and though I had made it out of each one of them in one piece, I was in no rush to relive those experiences. They had all cost me something or another that I didn't really want to part with at the time, but I had learned that nothing is free in the street game. So I chose every loss that I endured to the game that I chose to play and continue forward. Call me when you finish, I instructed him as I exited the shop and took off walking. Trying to decide what I wanted to do for an hour while waiting on my car, by the time I made up my mind, I was 2 blocks away from the shop inside the local liquor store. Chris had asked me about where my cars were coming from, and as I looked at the Moet bottles behind the counter, she crossed my mind. Moet's government name was Monica, and she was average all the way around the board, average height, average weight, and even average skin color. The only things about Monica that were not average were her nickname and the fact that she worked for Avery's Rental Car, Kirk Company. Not only did she work for them, she was actually a manager of our branch. And being the manager afforded her certain privileges that I took advantage of. Along with her position, she was also something like a genius with computers and knew everything that there was to know about her job, including how to rent cars to me and other people's names. Excuse me. I wonder how she was able to pull it off without getting caught, so I pillow talked her out of the information. Somehow, she kept the cars running out in the name of the last person and used it and just let me continue to pay for the car in cash. The best part about it was that no matter what I did with it in the car, the trail never led back to her. The Charger that I jumped out of on my birthday cost one of the employees his job, but the decision came down from someone higher up in the company. It also cost me an average night at Moet's Loft downtown. She tried her best to outlast me, but almost an hour into our quality time together, she had given up in and out. I need to find my way downtown tonight, I thought to myself as I ordered and paid for a pack of cigarettes, some gum, and a lighter. Moet's favorite pastime was texting, so after packing my squares, popping the pack, and firing one up, I took a few moments to send her a very detailed note about what I wanted to do to her when she got off work, if she let me. I didn't give her the exact order in which I planned to accomplish my goal. I just made sure that she got all the facts in the most sexually explicit words that I could come up with off the top of my head. almost 2 blocks from the liquor store, I had to laugh to myself as I looked at her response to my explicit text. That depends on the order you plan on doing that. This lady really thinks she know me, I thought to myself as I continued my stroll in the opposite direction of the tent shop. But before I could respond to her response, my other phone started singing to me. I had directed the last four people that wanted to see me to meet me somewhere near Natural Bridge in Newstead before I pulled up to drop the car off at the tent shop. I was only a block away when the first one of them called back. Hey, now. It worked out just like I wanted to in the end, because by the time I had finally handled all four of the transactions that I expected and two others that came along the way, I was only a half a block away from the tent shop when Chris called to inform me that my car was ready to be picked up. I hadn't planned to walk around conducting business the whole hour he was working on my car, but I preferred to be in motion while I worked, even if it wasn't in the car. This motherfucker looked like some of them people might be in. Chris laughed as he tossed me the keys and motioned me inside the garage. You ain't bullshitting, I responded as I walked around and checked out his work. What's the ticket, I questioned when I finished looking it over. Give me $150, he answered. I had planned to haggle over the price for a few minutes using the imperfections that I had found during my once-over inspection as points of reference in my argument. But before I could get my process started, my business phone decided to interrupt our conversation. Hey, now. The caller's order more than covered the $150 that he was charging me for the work, so I paid without saying a word in contention and got in the car. He must have known that my car saved him from an argument that would have probably saved me at least $30 or more, because as I pulled out of the garage, he showed me his phone along with the money, then laughed before putting both of them in his pocket. The sight made me want to stop and talk him out of some of my money, but as I turned around to park in front of the shop, the sight of a marked St. Louis police car riding down the street changed my mind instantly. Getting off in this parking lot became the most important thing to me, more important to me than the money was, so I kept my thoughts to myself and just made a mental note to get a double discount the next time we did business. Exiting the lot, I did what I always do when I seen anything that looked like the law. I went in the opposite direction. There were certain rules and regulations that went with driving and the police, and I tried my very best to follow them all to a T. When I couldn't, the car usually stayed at the scene while I followed another set of rules and regulations that concerned running for my life. I really need to stop selling this shit, I thought to myself as I pushed the $245 into my pocket. It was supposed to be an even $250, but my customers usually exaggerated what they had for me on an average of $5 to $10 in search of a better deal. At one point, it got so bad that I changed my packaging procedure to increase my profit, increasing the price without increasing the price or decreasing the quality. I received several complaints behind it, but I responded to each one of them with the wonderful words of wisdom that I had committed to my memory years before. You get what you pay for. Come short, get shorted. My Uncle Percy used to say every time he did half the work for half the price. When things got better as far as the truth in sales went, I still employed the same tactic for a few extra days just to see what I had been missing, and it amazed me. What I thought was only a few twos and fews turned out to be a couple of fifties and hundreds. Couldn't be mad at anybody but myself for taking the short. So after I got enough of my money back from the streets, I went back to my normal business practices. Another text from Moet caught my attention and almost caused me to lose control of my car as I concentrated more on the screen of my phone than I did the road. Oh shit, I screamed as I looked up just in time to keep running into the back of the car in front of me. My wife's most intimate possession looked almost edible in the photo message she sent to me, and I couldn't keep my eyes off it. I had seen it more times than I can count or remember, but every time she sent it to me through the mail, it just looked a little bit better than usual. When I was certain that I wasn't being followed, I took a few seconds to save the picture to my gallery on my phone. The bag that I had left home with that morning was almost empty, and that wasn't ever good for business. So after I got my way out of my lower mind, I made my way back home to put together another bag of goodies for the streets. Since my Mr. Coffee blender did most of the work for one, and the stove did most of the work for the other, I was in and out of the house and back in traffic in less than an hour. My two business lines sung the same song all day, and I did my very best to dance to their rhythm until I had no more moves left to make. At which time, the calls and texts went out to replenish my inventory, but they were both answered with a hurry up and wait response that I had quickly grown accustomed to. The thought crossed my mind to place an order with a different store. But I ain't act on it. I made the mistake of shopping at a different retail store, and it cost me several of my favorite customers. I ended up getting most of them back, but the ones that didn't taught me a very valuable lesson about being in a rush to get back to work. My cousin called it killing the phone, and I completely agree with the terms, because one day it will ring nonstop, then the next day it wouldn't ring at all. I had suffered that death and been resurrected by hard hustling and word of mouth from the streets, but I refused to press my luck. I had seen several people that I associated with never bounce back, and I ain't want to be in that situation or anything close to it if I could help it. Can't miss a call I never catch, I told myself before turning off both of my business lines and tossing them into the cup holder in the center console. My personal phone always had something going on with it because of the numerous social networks that I belong to. So when I ran out of money to chase, women became the next best substitute. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram were confusing to me at first, but once I got the hang of them, I was truly a natural. And even though I preferred to meet women face to face, I was not opposed to starting a cyber relationship as long as it got physical before it got emotional. Closer to downtown than I was to home, when Moet texted me that she was getting off work, I made my way towards her loft. She lived a couple blocks away from the club, Lola's, so I stopped there and had a drink to kill a few minutes as I waited on her to join me. Lola's catered to a mixed crowd of street and working class people, so I fit right in. It was also Moet's first stop after having a hard day at the office, so I was also something like a regular in the place because of all the times I met her to pay for a drink or two or talk her into not quitting her job. I wonder what's taking my way so long to pull up, I asked myself as I nursed my second drink. But the question came and went when an extremely attractive woman stopped next to me at the bar and ordered a drink. She was almost my height, light-skinned, with long jet black hair. The fact that she was plus-sized didn't bother me at all when I looked into her ocean blue eyes. Your drink on me, pretty lady, I informed her as I motioned to the bartender to put it on my tab. All I want to return is an answer. Is an honor answer to three questions. You gonna buy me a drink if I answer three questions, huh? She replied with just a hint of suspicion in her voice. That's right, I answered, lost in her eyes. Okay, she paused as she returned my stare. Shoot, are those your eyes, I questioned. Yes, she responded. Do you live in St. Louis, I probed. Yes, she replied. And what's your name, I asked. Layla, she answered. I had several other questions that I wanted to know answers to, but kept them to myself. The fact that Moet could walk up at any second was not far from the front of my mind, and I didn't want her to cause a scene or vice versa. I give you three questions, and those are the best ones you could come up with, she questioned when I returned to nursing my drink. They told me everything that I really wanted to know at this point in my life, I explained. And what was that, if you don't mind me asking? She asked as she didn't believe me. They told me that your beautiful eyes are real. I will see you again. And most importantly, what to call you when I do. I paused long enough to pull more than enough money out of my pocket to cover the tab and tossed it on the bar. Now, if you will excuse me, enjoy your drink and your night. We'll meet again. I finished as I walked away, leaving her standing at the bar and made my way towards the door my way had just walked through. chapter 1 and 2. Lab, A Strong Story, 0.5 by Damon Smith, a.k.a. Mr. Hate Now, a.k.a. Fresh Out ENT CEO. I thank y'all for spending a couple moments and entertaining me, hearing what I had to say and what I had to write. You know what I'm saying? And if you want a book, please let me know. If not, man, Amazon.com or Kindle. Like, you can find it everywhere. I'm trying to be everywhere at once. So I'm on my Blog Talk Radio for Lisa's Fragrances and such.
Lisa's Fragrance and Such. Lisa's Fragrance and Such is focused on providing high quality, all natural products at the best price. Fragrance oils such as Hikis Essence, Lacoste Essence, Creed Essence, and much more. We carry lotions, shower gels, body sprays, and sugar scrubs, custom made to your liking. Our mission is to provide the best products to our customers at the lowest prices possible. Visit us at www.lisasfragranceandsuch.com. That's www.lisasfragrance.com. Or give us a call at 813-666-3826. That's 813-666-3826. Follow us on Facebook at Lisa's Fragrance and Such, the queen of natural, of natural, of natural, of natural, of natural, of natural, of natural.
Else, I'm still doing this for the homes. So, got some, and let me know so we can make it shake.